Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. My name is Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And our whole thing is I care too much about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I care, Joe would say, too little.
Too little, but growing.
But day by day, in spite of myself, I am learning to love the hall. Ugh.
Wow. Pull it as a quote.
I said the L word.
Damn.
To the hall. Learning to love, though.
Yeah, I follow the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like sports, and our guest today is a bit of a sports enthusiast.
Whoa, cool seg.
Really good. I thought about it for hours. he hosts a sports podcast of his own focused on the NBA. It's called Roundball Rock. Also comedian, writer, very funny guy. Joey Devine is with us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
I'm a big listener of Who Cares About the Rock Hall, and I've got to say, at this point, I would say I actually think Kristen cares more about the Rock Hall than Joe does.
That can't be true. Whoa.
It's like a, but
I won't
like,
let it.
From a passion standpoint,
no.
You are like, every episode you are yelling about someone not being in the Rock Hall, and Joe's like, no. Like, Joe's like, analytics and you're all passion. It's like if we're talking sports.
That actually is how I feel about sports as well. I could give a shit about like stats, scores, any of that. I only want to know the story behind the players, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, who's got a good mascot. Those are the things I care about.
Kristen, I have bad news for you,
what?
By the way. Pat Benatar is also not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Why?
She's getting snubbed at every hall and institution.
This is outrageous. Well, I thought you were going to be like, I have some bad news for you. Most athletes are not good guys. I'm be like, that's mostly why I can't follow sports.
That can't be true.
Yeah. I mean, look at all those points they score. They've got to be good guys.
Yeah, there are heroes. There are nation's heroes. They score a lot of points. And when you accumulate points, that means you're a good person.
That makes you a good person.
It's true. It's all very true.
Oh,
Joey,
boy.
I feel like after every other episode we have, you have chimed in with some
sort
some
of obscure fact.
I want to know where you're coming from in terms of like, when did you first hear about the hall? What your relationship is with it?
Oh, I don't even know when I first heard about the hall. When I was in probably high school, I just got very into like, sort of, it probably became like I was sort of obsessed with like Cameron Crowe or whatever, like that level where it was like, I'm a high school kid, but I read Lester Bangs or whatever. And like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sort of comes with that, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you listening to older music when
you
were in school?
Yeah, for sure.
Were
like,
you?
I was such an obnoxious high schooler where I'd be like, oh, you guys like punk music? Have you heard Elvis Costello?
Wait, are you Joe Quazala?
Yeah.
That sounds a lot like your origin story, Joe.
It does, although I was.
I mean,
like
yours started with a book of lists.
Yes, my story begins at number one. That's the name of my biography. Yeah, but although I mean my story is a little like that, but I think more lame because I was going almost for the first few years there almost directly off of classic rock radio, which does not play Elvis Costello.
Yeah,
you know, I probably got into him my like senior year, like at the tail end of high school, but it was more like, Yeah, the bands I like. I know you guys are listening to certain things, but I like Jethro Tull.
Like, hey, listen, I know you guys are listening to certain things, but what are your dads listening to?
Yeah, right.
Like, have you ever looked in their album collections?
Mm-hmm, for some Peter Frampton, because he's pretty cool.
He's coming alive.
I would go, I don't know, did you go to many concerts of those artists?
No. Well, I did see Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. Honestly, he played for too long the time I saw him. He played for, like, it was just him and the guy who plays the piano. I forget his
name. Steve Naive?
Yeah. And they played for 3 hours.
Oh, whoa.
And he was also so old. Like, I love Elvis Costello, but I really kind of only like punky Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Like, the first three or four albums.
Yeah.
And, like, he oversings everything so much.
He really does.
It's so crazy that he's just decided, like, yeah, I'm a singer.
I've never seen him live, and I keep trying to get Joe to come to go to, he's coming soon in, like, the next couple months, and I keep trying to get Joe to come, and he's like, I don't know. I don't think so.
So he's having some health issues, Elvis.
This is it, then. This is it.
I hope so. Well, I feel when I got the, like, taste of his death, which is more poetic than
darkly poetic than
I wanted it to be. But I got that essentially Elvis Costello is, like, trending on Twitter. You get, like, that feeling of, like, oh my God, he's dead. You know, anytime on, like, the side of Twitter you see someone trending, you're like, oh, it's because they're dead. I hope they're not dead.
Yeah, they're either dead or dead to Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. The term is canceled.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did get that, like, waft, and I was like, oh, no. I do think I need to, even though I've seen him before, I do feel like I need to see him
again. All right,
cool.
That sounds like a soft commitment from Joe to our listeners and his co-host.
It's recorded. It's canon.
There it is. It's canon. Oh, God. It's canon.
Joey, when did you see Elvis? And where?
It was at the Warfield in San Francisco, and I want to say it was probably like 2003, maybe.
Okay, I think I saw him. I saw him open for Bob Dylan.
Oh man, that's a show, huh?
Yeah, but it was nice. I mean, I would watch Elvis Costello for a long time, but because he was the opening act, he was probably not performing for more than an hour.
Yeah,
and it's at the Chicago Theater, and I loved it.
I was supposed to, on my 28th birthday, I was supposed to, he was playing at Ravinia, and I had, like, I think, like, NPR was giving away free tickets with every pledge, and so I just pledged a bunch of low pledges and got, like, 20 tickets for my friends.
Whoa.
And, and then it rained, and Ravinia is outside, and so we did not go to Rainvinia. We instead had a picnic in my apartment. So I have never seen Elvis Costello live, and that is why Joe and I are going soon.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Cool.
We're also going to see Randy Newman.
Yeah, and
I've
apparently
seen Randy Newman.
David
Randy
Byrne.
Newman
are we going to go see David Byrne, too?
I think
too?
We should.
Okay,
I would very much like to go see that. Yeah.
I also just found out Jens Lehmann, somebody nobody cares about.
I love Jens Lehmann.
Jens Lehmann is coming. He's coming August 21st
to
Tignataro Highland Park.
I saw Tignataro open for Jens Lehmann one time,
oh,
weirdly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Could you guys tell me who Jens Lehmann is?
He's a Swedish like pop rock guy. He's like an indie rock, folky,
yeah, but his music
poppy.
Is kind of like if punk never existed. It's like if Neil Diamond was the biggest singer in the world.
Do you know who Sandra Lerca is?
I don't know how you guys both have this broad knowledge of Nordic pop stars. But somehow it has gone over my head. I feel like I'm supposed to be the one coming to this with a bunch of weird knowledge about foreign. Yeah, no.
Jens Lehmann probably not making the Rock Hall. I'm
yeah, no.
Say.
Oh,
yeah.
0 out of 10 chance on that one, because Joe hasn't heard of him, and neither has his dad or his mom.
Yeah, if I haven't heard of him, I'm pretty sure Mary Pat has not heard of Jens Lehmann either. But you're gonna go see Jens?
I think I'm gonna go. I saw him. He's great on
You'd
stage.
Like
he
him,
has
Joe.
Like
he's
fun
okay.
patter.
He's good and he's like funny.
Yeah, he's great. He's got fun patter on stage, and I like him a lot. But I feel like he's I just got a text about that today, and I'm gonna go see Car Seat Headrest tomorrow.
Oh fuck yeah! You got
yeah. I've got a lot coming, and I'm seeing Liz Phair in like a month. So I got a summer full of concerts.
Who else is on that?
Yeah,
bill?
You're like having your own summer concert series.
I really am.
Kristen Stutter concert series.
Yeah, people should sign up. I could curate something. What were you asking me? Who else is
on?
Oh,
who else
what?
Is on the bill with Liz Phair?
I don't know.
If anybody.
I don't know if it is anybody. I just, because she's doing like Guyville 25 years later, mm-hmm. revisited. So, hell yeah.
I told Joe about when I saw Liz Phair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was this after our Liz Phair episode?
Yeah. So I saw Liz Phair open for the Flaming Lips on the Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots tour.
Well, well, well.
But it was the most disrespectful concert I've ever seen, because it was like she only did the songs off her like new pop album.
Uh-huh.
And all those Flaming Lips fans were such assholes about it. They were like, "This sucks. You're a sellout." And I was standing there like, this is exactly what the Flaming Lips just did. Like, this is no different than Do You Realize, like, trying to get on the radio. Like, it was
bad. But to say that Yoshimi is kind of a sellout album is pretty... It's like a weirdy... It's a weird
I love that album, but it's not like they were still doing their, like...
Weird avant-garde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yoshimi's like a very poppy.
You don't have to put four CDs into four different CD players to listen to the full album, which is something the Flaming Lips did one time.
What?
Yeah, there's an album where it's you buy it on CD and it's four different albums, basically. But if you play them all at the same time on four different stereos, it all combines to one song.
That is some labored bullshit.
It is. Yeah. That is acid personified.
Yeah, I was like, that is really drugs. Like, that just is drugs.
It's like the most drugs.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, you could do that now with Bluetooth speakers, man. You could do that in a heartbeat.
Just fucking tell Alexa, hey,
okay.
Alexa.
Yeah, play all
play those four
at
songs
once.
At the same time.
Okay.
You got it.
Oh, there's one thing I wanted to run by you, Kristen.
Whoa, okay, what's up?
I think I told Joe these. I have two Moody Blues facts for you that I want you to, that I just want you to know.
Important for
boy,
you.
Boy, oh yeah. Boy. Gosh, we can't let them rest.
No. All right, first off, the Moody Blues were Charles Manson's second favorite band.
It was the Beatles and the Moody Blues.
And people say he like respected the Moody Blues more, but like wanted the Beatles fame.
Is this supposed to make them cooler to me?
No.
They could have written "Knights in White Satin" in blood on the walls.
Right. Yeah, it was between "Helter Skelter" and "Ride My Seesaw" for being fucking sprayed in blood on the wall.
Oh my god!
And the second is when Brian Wilson went on the first date with the lady who saves him from the brainwash doctor.
Uh-huh.
Their first date, a Moody Blues concert.
That's the closest you're... That's the closest... That's like, I'm glad that they did that. Good. Great.
It saved Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
But it did not save the Tate Lobianco murders.
Yeah,
well,
if they would have been his favorite band, maybe those never would have happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still putting him at the very bottom.
Oh yeah, look, I think you're correct on the Moody Blues.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
I mean, I was again. Their whole family was so psyched.
Mm-hmm.
They were really happy to be there, but that's not enough for me.
The issue, I think, the main issue with that is if they had been in a different class. You know?
Instead of this boring whack ass. Okay. Now I'm mad again.
Because you can almost if they were like the token of their year of like an old classic rock band, and then they were also inducted with like if it had been like Nine Inch Nails, Janet Jackson,
Radiohead,
The Cure, and Radiohead, like then it would have been like, yeah, it would have been like, okay, the Moody Blues, yeah,
and
sure.
Also the Moody Blues, sure, fine,
Tip your hat.
Go first, it'll be great. Mm-hmm. Only televise one song, the
mm-hmm.
end.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it would be Knights in White Satin, so it would take up the half
exactly.
of the entire...
Yeah, there would be a talk break where a man talks about children laying their heads upon a pillow or whatever
so
the fuck
good.
That...
It's so good.
Oh my god. If you guys haven't checked out our bonus episode where Joe tricks me into listening to the Moody Blues for half an hour, check it out.
I've got to say, I've listened to the episode, and you catch on... pretty fast.
Well, I didn't know what we were doing, and then it happened. Mm-hmm. It happened.
But you get it
first...
like a song and a half in, maybe even
half
a song.
No, I get
in.
It like a few bars into the first song. I just didn't know what we were doing until we were doing it.
Right. It's fun to surprise your friends, I found. That's my philosophy.
Oh my gosh. So do you follow the Hall the way that Joe does? Every year are you like, who's going to be the... No.
No. I mean, I always click on like, oh, here's the big nominee list. And then I forget that I saw it. And then it's mm-hmm. like, oh, here's who got in. And then I'm mad.
Right. Yeah. That's about the cycle for most people.
Yeah. I definitely don't follow it the way Joe does. But I just have like a brain for like weird... I like factoids.
Yeah,
and
little factoids.
Yeah, like the Moody Blues facts like I just gave you. Yeah.
Then you just had those in the hopper ready to go. You didn't look those up. You knew.
Did you watch a lot of VH1 growing up?
I didn't have cable until I was a sophomore, probably.
Poor soul, you would have loved it.
I know. I would have loved Pop-Up Video, dude.
Oh my God. Wait, so you missed out on Pop-Up Video?
I mean, when I was in high school, I used to watch it. Like, if you'd be sick home from school, it'd be on all day. But I complain pretty regularly that there's no way to just watch, like, Behind the Musics. Because
those were so good.
I love rock and roll docs. Yeah. It's like
rock docs, baby.
Rock docs fucking kick ass.
I still haven't watched that Eagles one. Apparently, that's
dope.
The one.
I hate the Eagles. I fucking hate the Eagles.
Listen,
but...
I'm like Lebowski on me.
Yeah. Like, but it's perfect. It's a perfect documentary if you hate the Eagles too. Mm-hmm. Because like so much of their behavior is like so detestable.
Yeah, the juxtaposition between their the style of music and the intensity of their hatred towards each other, and the fact that this is, I can't get over, I think I mentioned this before, it's authorized.
Yeah.
So the Eagles saw the footage, saw the cut, and they looked awful in it. Or they saw a cut and they were like, we come off too awful, so then there was a compromise cut and that's the cut we see.
Or maybe they're just dedicated to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. That's
maybe.
What. Yeah.
Or honestly, maybe they each think that the other one looks worse.
So they're like, that's fine because
Henley looks like an asshole.
But it's so clearly Glenn Frey is the worst guy.
Yeah.
Like, you do not walk away from that documentary thinking that he is a good guy. Because every member of that band has had a like major dust-up with Glenn Frey. Except for maybe Joe Walsh, who just is out of it the whole time. That's how he got through
it.
Joe Walsh is... If we had to rank the...
Oh, Joe Walsh is the only acceptable Eagle.
Yeah. If we had to rank them in order of, like, acceptability, in order of, like, how much we like them, how cool they are, I think, obviously, Joe Walsh is at the top.
Yeah, because he's in the James Gang.
He's in the James Gang, and, like, he kind of does his own thing. Yeah. And, like, seems to not have any type of flair for drama like the rest of them.
Plus, we're huge The Drew Carey Show fans.
Yeah, we love to see... Joe Walsh should probably never be on TV, but thank you to Drew Carey for putting him center stage in a few episodes. So, and then at the end, I'd put Glenn Frey. And then...
Wait, and so Glenn Frey looks the worst and the meanest. The heat is on Glenn Frey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Smuggler's Blues.
Smuggler's Blues.
Himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a really funny moment in that documentary where Don Henley's talking about how they got really famous. And he was like, well... You know, once we got huge, we were international superstars, a lot of offers came and a lot of people wanted me to act and shit. And I'm not an actor. And why would I do that? I'm a musician. I think I'm just going to start acting and stuff. And they do a cut. What's that called? Like a smash cut. They do like a smash cut to fucking Glenn Frey in Miami Vice. And just in Jerry Maguire and in just everything. Because Glenn Frey totally was like, yeah, I'm a star. I can act. I should be in everything. I'm super famous and I'm super important. Put me in it all.
All right. I'll watch this documentary, but not before I watch Whitney.
Understood. We should see that soon.
Yeah.
Still in theaters.
Man, Joe and I are making a lot of plans. And we're putting them on the books right now.
Yeah, we're letting everybody know.
Why not? Like,
this is for us all to know, I guess. You know, welcome to our calendars, guys.
Yeah, calendar live.
Yeah.
I want to put Randy Meisner, the original bass player, at number two. And I know this means nothing. Kristen's looking at me like, just, she's saying, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I can say nothing.
Yeah, I think that's...
I would put Meisner second because he seemed, and everyone kind of agreed on this, he's like the only not alpha male in that group. And he sings Take It to the Limit. He's the lead singer on Take It to the Limit. That's like his main claim to fame other than being the bass player. And sometimes he didn't want to, he didn't feel that he could hit the high notes on Take It to the Limit on the live shows. And sometimes it would be because, you know, he was exhausted from the tour and he'd be like, I can't, I don't know if I can do the high notes. And Glenn Frey would get in his face and be like, these fucking people came to watch you hit those notes and hear you sing beautifully, you piece of shit. So if you don't go out there, I'm going to fucking lay you out. And he's just like, okay, Glenn.
Wow. Glenn kind of took it to the limit.
Oh, Glenn was always taking it to the limit, dude. He was never taking it easy, that's for sure.
No, he was already gone. Yeah. And then the thing is, I think Henley's output musically is impressive. Especially, I mean, like Glenn Frey, most of his songs sound the same. You know, it's Take It Easy, it's Peaceful Easy Feeling, sure. Which is basically just another way to say Take It Easy. Yeah. It's Tequila Sunrise, you know, all those songs have... I think Henley's music is like slightly more challenging.
You could switch him and Jimmy Buffett and they'd be the same band, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Glenn and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's a lot of relaxation.
Will Glenn Frey get his own... Oh my gosh, will the Eagles get their own Broadway musical?
What would it be
called
already.
And what would the plot be?
Oh, it's called Hotel California.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And it's all set at the Hotel California.
Yes, of course.
But it's like, and people come there to take it easy.
Yeah.
They try to take it to the limit. They looking for that peaceful, easy feeling.
There's a tequila sunrise.
And then just,
someone has lion eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone's a victim of love.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
And then the Smuggler's Blues show up.
Yeah.
Oh.
And at
oh, boy. I hope not.
Well, and then the encore is The Heat Is On. Actually, the Smuggler's Blues, it's like the Smuggler's Blues are happening, and then like the cops show up, and the heat is on.
And those are the Boys of Summer?
Yeah. No, the Yankees come and stay at the Hotel California, and they're the Boys of Summer.
I think they couldn't. To put a damper on our theoretical scenario,
wow,
I feel like they
okay.
could not put the solo artist songs in there.
I
just
mean,
saying,
fine. Okay.
They have enough Eagle. They have enough.
Yeah. I just couldn't think of any more Eagle
Understood.
Songs.
A new kid in town. I could probably go for a long time, and
oh,
I don't feel good about it. I don't feel I saw the Eagles. So I went and saw a bunch of these old ass classic rock bands when I was in high school.
Did you go to, what was the one that was the old people, Old Cella? Did you go to Old Cella?
No, I didn't. I haven't been to a big concert in a while. I saw Tom Petty. I saw Tom Petty's last concert.
Desperado.
I've seen Tom Petty. I used to go to the Bridge School benefit every year, which is Neil Young puts on this giant concert every year for his son who can't. It's for the school, for the kids who...
The mentally disabled.
Yeah. And they play like, and it's always like the weirdest. It was always like the weirdest lineup ever because it's all acoustic too,
right?
But it would be like the Smashing Pumpkins, and Tom Waits, and Tom Petty, and Billy Idol, and Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. It was always such a weird lineup.
Yeah,
is that Lucinda Williams?
Right. I saw her open for Neil Young when I saw Neil Young. I talked about this last episode, but he was doing Greendale, his like musical, and it was more a theater show than it was a rock concert, and I was very upset because I feel like Neil Young, if he's doing a rock concert, is going to be good, which you've seen.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Tom Petty always puts on a good show. I think the worst shows I saw, Boston was so bad, as you can imagine, but like, they had the original lead singer, but he couldn't hit the high notes, Randy Meisner style. So they had some weirdo there who nobody knew who was like hitting the high notes when he couldn't. And they played a lot of stuff from their new album, which Boston, come on. They have like a perfect debut album where they could just play those, and they decided to.
Yeah, all eight of those songs and you're out.
Yeah. Jethro Tull was pretty bad.
How much flute was a Jethro Tull concert consist of, like, percentage-wise?
I want to say, I mean, every song has got it, and
right,
there, but it's probably occupying about at least 25% of every song. I went and saw them. It was the summer, and did they play a song from their Christmas album? Guys, they did. I couldn't believe it, because also they didn't play any hits beyond that. They were playing a lot of new shit and some from. It was like we were
Wait,
waiting.
They didn't play Bungle in the Jungle or whatever
no,
that song is.
They only played Locomotive Breath and Aqualung of songs that yeah. you would know. Other than that, it was a bunch
thick
of shit.
Thick as a Brick.
There's a lot of songs they could. Thick as a Brick. Bungle in the Jungle.
Literally,
Skating
Thick
Away.
As a Brick is the only Jethro Tull song I can imagine that I can think of.
I can't believe that song is actually called Bungle in the Jungle.
Is
it about Vietnam?
Let's be clear. Yes,
serious
probably.
Question, is it about Vietnam? Okay.
Well, no, they're actually very literal about the jungle because it starts with a lion roaring.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I believe some of the lyrics are like, talking to monkeys that live in the forest. There's
that
a lot
like
of...
like a Rush song, yeah. too.
Right, yeah. They went trees. Yeah, the Rush went flora, Jethro Tull went fauna. But yeah, no, it's a very literal song just about like walking through the jungle and hanging out with animals. But we should note that the first two songs that you guys came up with were rhyming songs. Thick as a Brick
and
Bungle
in the Jungle.
It makes them sound like they're dumb. I bet they get in soon. I bet Jethro Tull.
Yeah,
do you think so?
Sure.
Oh, really?
I bet they get in very soon.
Unfortunately.
Within the next few years, if you look at the kind of the trend that's been happening. It
yeah,
just seems
I mean,
like
I guess
next.
I put them on the Moody Blues tier.
But and also the like history of Jethro Tull, like of course they get in and people are mad about it, like
right, that's kind of the,
what's the history.
They won
of
the
Jethro
first
Tull.
Heavy metal Grammy and beat out
oh,
Metallica
yes.
and there was another big one. It's like
yeah, it could have been, I mean it was just bands that were actually metal and then Jethro
yeah
Tull.
It's like Metallica and Pantera and Jethro Tull, and Jethro Tull wins it.
And it was the, I think they had been like, we need a metal category, recognize us, we're doing something that's different. And they're like, okay, we, the Grammys, recognize heavy metal and heavy metal's greatest artist, Jethro Tull.
God. Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross. I mean, I did know that, but I had forgotten it. Mm-hmm. Ew.
Yeah. I could see, they're on my list of artists that I think could get in soon, and if they did with other bands of their sort, it would be kind of a bummer like this year.
Yeah,
but they're like, they're fine if it's, I mean, like if next
if
year
it's the Doobie Brothers,
Jethro Tull, Foreigner, Bad Company,
Boston.
Yeah, if and the thing is, if they get on the ballot, I think as soon as Jethro Tull gets on the ballot, they get in.
You
the
think FYN?
I mean, I guess Jethro Tull has to get in, I guess, but like...
I'm okay with it. I think yeah. it's an inevitability.
But I think the Doobie Brothers actually should get in.
I agree, especially because they had two phases of their career with
right.
hits.
And
with Michael McDonald.
I just weirdly think Michael McDonald is actually sort of a weirdly important person for a mm-hmm. time in music, and like, he should probably
is he
get
in?
Recognized.
No, the only way he'll get in is with the Doobie
Brothers,
and
yeah.
it will happen, and I think it'll probably happen next year, is my guess. But, yeah.
I like the Doobie Brothers more than any of the other acts that we just named.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So there is that.
I'm curious how, if we'd be able to go around the horn naming Doobie Brothers songs and how long we could last.
I just pulled up their Spotify page, but I only glanced at it.
All right. Do you want to try it? Do you want to start?
Sure.
And then go you, Joey, me, and see
sure.
how long we can go.
Listen to the Music.
Great.
Taking It to the Streets.
China Grove.
What a Fool Believes.
You don't know me, but you're my brother. What is that song?
Didn't we already say that? Isn't that the one you just said?
Oh, yeah, I did say that. Sorry. I think I'm out already.
Damn.
I don't know why.
Did they sing Take It to the Limit one more time?
Oh, boy.
That's just in my head now because we were talking about it.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, no.
No, that's just Michael McDonald.
That's just Michael McDonald. Yeah.
But I do want to say the one that I just pulled. Oh, you go.
I want to see if we could keep going.
No, because I pulled it up.
Did anyone say What a Fool Believes?
I did.
You did? Yeah. Okay. And then the other ones from the Michael McDonald era are It Keeps You Running. Let's see. I guess there's Minute by Minute.
That's the one.
Yeah. And then the ones from the early era, there's Blackwater.
Mm-hmm. That would be the one that I would associate the most with them. Listen to the Music and Blackwater would be the ones.
Long Train Running, which is Without Love, Where Would You Be Now?
Without Love. That's like a freaking MIDI ringtone now, though, like, you know, the little like
Take Me in Your Arm, Take Me in Your Arms,
Take Me in Your Arms, rock me a little while. Yep. That's an originally a soul song. Did they do a cover of
that? They did do a cover.
Rocking
Down the Highway.
That just sounds like you made that up.
I know. It sounds like a boilerplate, paint by numbers, Doobie Brothers song. But no, Rockin' on the Highway was one. They have a song called Another Park, Another Sunday.
Yes.
Listen to the Music? We said that already?
It was the first one that I said. I have one that hasn't been said yet that I'm looking at on Spotify. Not like I know one.
Let me see.
I have two actually that I'm like, oh, I think you should say these before.
Mm-hmm. Great. I will if I can pull it.
They're both from the older era.
Right. This is great.
Riveting great radio.
Why don't you guys talk while I get in my head and then never speak again?
How Joe lives his life.
Here, I'm just gonna bury my head into a pillow and then I'll emerge and I'll scream it.
He really is trying to. He's got his little hands over his face like a weird spelling bee contestant.
Broken him
trying to just say the words out loud. Do you remember that spelling bee girl who would whisper the words off the microphone? She would whisper it into her hands before she did it.
I do love the spelling bee, though.
Oh, boy. She was one of the best contestants. She would, like, she won. But she would turn away from the microphone and put her hands up to her mouth and, like, whisper the word out loud into her hands before she... Like after each letter, so she.
That's
would,
pretty tight.
It was really cute, and she really looked like a dorky spelling bee girl.
Do you remember
girl.
When that kid passed out at the spelling bee?
No,
I think he ended up winning, but he like the pressure got to him so bad he collapsed and then got back up and spelled the word right. If I remember this correctly,
that's so funny.
Oh, that's so great. All right, Joe, your time is up. I don't think
I'm gonna pull it.
Okay, the two I was gonna say were Jesus Is Just All Right with Me.
Oh, that's
a yeah
and. China Grove.
I said China Grove.
Did we say China Grove?
Oh, okay. Said.
Well, Jesus is Just All Right with Me was one that I would have thought.
That's a classic.
That it was in the top 10 on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else was said.
I actually had a question for you guys.
Please.
Ooh.
So, you know how we're
live
like...
Live listener feedback.
Yeah, so you know how we're like stuck just putting in classic rock bands over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Yes.
With the lack of rock music... After like 1999, aren't they just gonna put in every 90s band until like eternity? Then isn't it gonna happen again?
The 90s gonna be the new 70s?
Because it's like the Stone Temple Pilots are in.
Well, the issue with that is we have
Sublime.
Joe and I have had that conversation. I think Sublime has a pretty good shot.
Well, they have the like dead singer status.
And that they have a very long tail. I think for younger people
You talking about Lou Dog?
Yeah, Lou Dog has such a long tail. But like the fact that people still know like every word to those songs, like
they've kept their music is still like played on Jack FM, which is pretty remarkable. Like that music continues to be something that people listen to.
Yeah, I could see them getting
it's,
in.
And you compare Sublime
fucking Janet Jackson.
Yeah,
compare Sublime to Dave Matthews Band. Dave Matthews Band came out after Sublime, but you hear Sublime songs way more than you ever hear Dave Matthews.
Yeah,
And those, I feel like those bands occupy a similar space, but you know, it's kind of,
I think Dave Matthews Band could also get in though.
I'm skeptical just because I feel like
that Crash was like a monster album. Mm-hmm. That was like a really big
one. Not to bring up Buffett again, but like, I think Dave Matthews can't get in unless Buffett gets in. Because
wow,
it's like,
that's hurtful.
They're the new Buffett.
That's hurtful. Look, oh my gosh.
Look, I don't like Dave Matthews Band. I've seen them live twice.
I've seen them live, I think, three times. No, twice.
But they are like, they're like our Buffett, where it's like, mm-hmm, white people go to get wasted.
Wear shorts and sandals.
Yeah,
wear
like
shorts
hacky
and flip-flops and hack and frizz.
Yeah.
It's like looking adults looking for a college quad experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like for people, because like Buffett is like alcohol Grateful Dead, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're margarita Grateful Dead.
Dave Matthews is like alcohol Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I think weed, there's...
Oh,
Dave
no, there's
Matthews
definitely
weed,
too.
Oh,
I just...
there's weed.
Okay.
Oh, trust me. There's weed.
Yeah. Guys, don't get me wrong.
You can't watch those fiddle solos without being high.
Perfect intonation.
But to your question, it's like we haven't even gotten to the 80s yet.
Right.
So I feel like it's gonna take some time. Like, we haven't even scratched the surface of essentially any new wave post-punk bands.
Well, I think they're kind of avoiding those bands on purpose, though, because it's like the 80s are such a weird decade because it's like, okay, you have like the critics bands where it's like Joy Division or whatever that sold, or the Replacements that sold like zero records. Mm-hmm. And then everything on the radio that they haven't put in already is like a joke. Where the 90s have
the convergence of critical and commercial
success, like the grunge breakthrough.
Where it's like nobody's going to complain if you put Beck in.
No, right. And I think he will get in.
He'll get in soon. He's eligible this upcoming year. I think he'll be nominated, but he'll maybe get in within 3 or 5.
Wow.
I bet he'll be on the ballot. It just, the ballot's too crowded. You know, again, Radiohead's not in yet. So, like, I feel like it'll take a little bit of time,
oh,
but he'll...
God, I'm just like, what other shit are they going to put in before they start putting in any, like...
Anybody you like.
Anybody I like.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely, because we're going to have to go to the induction ceremony next
mm-hmm.
year.
Oh,
and,
yeah. The thing is, it has the potential... Oh, this is why I kind of still cling to the Hall, because it has the potential to be a good induction.
Yeah.
You know?
They're putting the Cure in this year, I think.
I hope so, man. But
you
they
think so?
They've been
it
eligible for so long.
That would be Joe's such... That would be so cool. I would love it. I love the Cure, and I would be so psyched.
It just doesn't make sense that they're not in.
It doesn't. And every year... It seems they, every year or two...
They've been nominated
mm-hmm.
before?
Every year or two, it seems like they switch to a different type of... They only choose one, but sometimes it was the Cure 1 year, it was the Smiths for 2 years. The past 2 years, it's been Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're
And they keep not getting in?
Mm-hmm. They're
oh,
just, like, kind of
God,
bopping
I'm like,
around.
Put all three of those in on the same damn thing. Just bring us back.
Yeah.
Make all the
new
goths
in.
From the 80s happy.
But yeah, and it feels like they kind of bounce around between those guys as though to say, well, fuck, we thought they would get in this year. Maybe Depeche Mode will get people excited. Okay. And I'm guessing it's Seymour Stein from Sire Records who like kind of signed all those bands.
Well,
who
I met Seymour Stein one time accidentally.
I want you to talk about this.
So Seymour Stein.
He was essentially like the president or co-president of the Hall.
He's also like I'm going to say taste-wise has, like, of those, like, record label guys going out of the cocaine era had, like, the best taste. Like, he signed, like, the Replacements.
And
he
the
signed
Ramones
the
and
Ramones.
The Talking Heads. And
he's, like, the guy
the
vinyl was...
This guy is my dude. Like, so far, I'm
he's
like...
He's awesome. And apparently he retired from Warner Brothers yesterday.
Yeah.
So that he could take on more responsibility at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I found the demands of the Hall were interfering with my
day job.
But the Replacements are my favorite band. And I heard, I work at this Chinese food restaurant, and there were just two people there in the middle of the day. It was like a young guy and a very, very old man. And the young guy was talking very loudly about the book, Please Kill Me.
Is that the, that's not the under...
Okay. It's a CBGB book.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And...
Meet Me in the Bathroom is what I was thinking of.
And they went, the old guy went to the bathroom, and I told the young guy, I was like, hey, if you like punk books, you should read the Replacements book. It's really, really great. Which, by the way, read the Replacements book. It's so funny and weird and sad.
Did they make a rock doc about the Replacements?
No, because there is one, but they thought it was funny if the replacements refused to sign off on. This is a thing the Replacements were doing for a while, because there's also a Replacements book that's quote-unquote unauthorized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like fans talking about the Replacements, and it sucks.
Oh, okay, no thank you. Because
they think it's funny, like, what if these are all unauthorized because the Replacements do everything incorrectly. It's kind of their thing.
That is their thing.
So you're talking to
book?
This guy.
Oh, it's called Trouble Boys.
That's right, yeah.
So I'm like, you should, if you like punk books, you should read Trouble Boys by the Replacements. It just came out last year. It's really, really great. And the younger guy was like, hang on a second. And then the old guy comes out of the bathroom and he goes, hey, this guy wants to tell you about a punk book. And I was like, yeah, if you like punk books, you should read Trouble Boys, the Replacements book. And he goes, the Replacements book? I think I'm in that book. And he goes, hey, I'm Seymour Stein. And he is in that book a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
And then he proceeds to tell me, he's like, I nominate the Replacements every year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Whoa, he brought up the Rock Hall. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, I think this is why he retired. I think he's going to get in there and he's going to fix some shit. Come on, Seymour.
And he got him on the ballot one year.
Who got inducted that year instead of them?
Nirvana.
Ugh.
That wasn't a terrible year. That was like Nirvana, Linda Ronstadt, Peter Gabriel, Cat Stevens, Hall & Oates, and also Kiss.
Oh, everything except Kiss rules.
Yeah,
also,
that's
that Hall & Oates,
Kiss.
That was the year that our boy was...
Roy Traken. Flew in on their dime to Stan.
I mean, Hall & Oates should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I am not mad about it. I'm just more like they should have come later than some other people. But I'm not mad about that at all.
Seymour Stein is also responsible for Madonna and the Pretenders.
Yeah.
I love
he's
the
your
Pretenders.
Guy.
Like, he's really my guy. I was like, I love the Pretenders. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. What a cool guy. Can we get him on the show?
I mean, he's got a lot of time in his hands now.
Yeah. Come on.
I think it could happen. I mean, like, he's...
Does he live in New York or does he live out here?
He was flying back to New York to talk to Legs, the guy who wrote... Please Kill Me.
Oh,
I think they were trying, I probably shouldn't say this on a podcast, but I think they're trying to make Please Kill Me into a television show, would be my guess.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
Yeah. A fucking
Cause they were
vinyl style, baby.
Well, because vinyl's essentially based on Seymour Stein.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem happy about it. I mean, this is all a rumor. I'm adding up here. Don't.
You were but a simple restaurant worker.
Yeah.
Did you watch Vinyl?
No.
I watched every single episode of Vinyl.
Okay, Joey was a stan. Now, what did you think?
I hated it.
Was it fun to watch how bad it was? Because it didn't seem like it would be.
No, it was not fun. I mean, and I kind of love Bobby Cannavale just generally, but it was like...
Well, he is a type. Do you know what I mean? There isn't... Can you... Like, there's... You're like... There's... Bobby Cannavale is like...
If you want that guy, you have to get Bobby.
Problem is he's weirdly miscast in Vinyl. Like, the majority of the show is him doing cocaine and freaking out every single episode. And I described it as, I think, I hate to be a guy who reads a tweet on a podcast, but I said Vinyl only makes sense if it's about a man who cocaine is slowly turning into a werewolf. Because every single scene he would like do a line, then be like,
grow more hair.
I saw one of, I think what I think is the first scene of Vinyl, My friends showed it to me because they're like, you have to watch this, which is where he's checking out this new hot band and mm-hmm. an old abandoned warehouse. And the band rocks so hard, the building collapses.
Well, and the band is the New York Dolls.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Which, when that happened, I was like, I gotta watch this show. Mm-hmm. It's not I don't think it's the first scene, but okay, it's close.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, did the New York Dolls once play so hard a building collapsed?
I doubt it.
And they did not. That a building that they used to play in all the time did collapse, was but demolished. Not when they were playing.
Yeah, it was a zoning issue.
And so Please Kill Me is about CBGBs and that kind of yeah. era.
And it's an oral history. It's funny.
Oh, great. I got to listen to that one because I like those types of books. I did read. I read Meet Me in the Bathroom recently.
Yeah, I got to read that too. I'll put that on my list. Put that in Goodreads. If anybody wants... Sorry, I was just about to make a stupid...
Oh, wow.
Listen, if I... No.
You can't do it?
I can't. If you guys want to follow me on Goodreads, oh, just make suggestions and see my reviews.
Are you K-Stud on Goodreads?
I'm sure I am.
Across all platforms.
Across all platforms.
Oh, my God. Lord.
Oh.
Of rock books, though, and that's... I'm going through the Jan Wenner book right now, which is really good, Sticky Fingers. And then the Michael Azarad book, Our Band Could Be Your Life.
That one was a big part of
Our Band Could Be Your Life. Isn't that the Motley Crue book?
No, but that one rules.
Yeah, what's the Motley Crue
book? That one's called The Dirt.
Oh, then what's the...
Our Band Could Be Your Life kind of just... it's like several long chapters.
Is it also about the Rolling Stones?
No, it's all about indie rock.
Underground. It's the underground scene in the 80s, and each chapter is focusing on a different
band. There's like a Replacements chapter. There's like a Fugazi. Minor Threat chapter. There's a...
it's Big Black, Dinosaur Jr., Husker Du,
Gibby Black Haynes, Flag. What band is that? The Butthole Surfers. I can't believe I almost forgot the name of the Butthole Surfers.
Well...
How could you? Yeah, they picked that name specifically so that wouldn't happen.
Imagine if a world where the Butthole Surfers get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think some of those bands from that, I could see Black Flag getting in. And...
It's weird Black Flag isn't in to me.
Well,
already.
If you look at who's in, it makes sense.
Right, but it's like Henry Rollins is acceptable enough to me from like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame standpoint that they would put them in. Because it'd be like, yeah, we can get Henry here and he'll tell stories.
Yeah, right. He seems very much like that type of the dude that would be there. And
but he's punk Dave Grohl.
Has he ever inducted anybody or done any sort of...
I don't think so.
...stuff at the hall? Has he performed Liar?
Sonic Youth not being in is also confusing to me.
I mean...
That's the thing. So, like, we have... There's all these bands to catch up.
But also, I will say, and maybe someone will come on and talk about Sonic Youth someday, but like they did not achieve very much commercial success whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
And like they're really dear to a lot of us who like that kind of music and the
it's
music
an acquired
that it inspired,
taste.
You know, but like Sonic Youth is not like it is. That is not the people's band, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
But
they definitely rock.
Thurston Moore is so like thirsty to like talk about history. He feels like a Rock Hall guy because like he's in every like slightly indie documentary where it's like Thurston Moore sitting in front of his record collection.
I have to say it. You should spell it Thirstin, apostrophe Moore, because my man Thurston. But you're right, he does show up in every... I think I was watching that Classic Albums... You ever see those Classic Albums documentaries? Watching the Nevermind one, and he's all over that.
Yeah, he's always... It seems like he has so much time to film documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
He's retired from Warner Brothers as well. Maybe he could... okay? He could get into the nom-com.
Bring him in. I was watching a documentary last night called A Tale of Two Johns. Have you seen that one?
I have seen it. I saw it recently, in fact.
It was about John Ritter and John Belushi.
Boy, I did not think that you would take that long to come up with literally anybody named John. Well, the two Johns are John Linnell and John Flansburgh.
Oh, God. Why didn't I say those guys? Those are obvious. Those are gimme. Yeah. Those are gimme Johns. Okay, sorry. I thought that went without saying. Sorry about that. Okay, fine.
Gimme Johns is very funny. Yeah, and they are the two pretty much soul members of They Might Be Giants, the band we will be talking about today.
Ooh, is this a segue?
Welcome, clearly a segue. Welcome to the new segment.
Excuse me, is this a segue? Rides off.
So, They Might Be Giants. Why don't you, Joey? Why don't you tell us why you chose them? How you feel about them?
Well, I do. I have
strong feelings about They Might Be Giants.
I do think before I get into it. I picked them because
I have mild feelings about They Might Be Giants.
I picked them because I think they have a weirdly interesting case.
Yeah.
They're a band I like a lot. I think there are three people who have to get in before you even think about They Might Be Giants,
though. That's very true. Yeah.
And that's Devo, the B-52s, and Weird Al.
Yeah.
I think those are
before
all...
Before you can even acknowledge, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the They Might Be Giants tributary, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I picked them because there's a lot of weird... They weirdly trailblazed in areas that are not exactly music related that much.
Yeah.
Like, and also just pure longevity. I mean, they formed in 1982 and they're still making albums.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, I think if you're, and I think they're going to be together until the day they die, until one of them dies.
Right.
Because
I imagine they'll die at the same time holding hands.
Because, I mean, they met in middle school or whatever and are still just, like, writing songs. And they don't seem to hate each other at all.
No, which is remarkable. Because are there two more punchable guys than the two guys and They Might Be Giants? Especially Flansburgh. He just like, oh, boy, when I see him, I'm ready to stuff him into a locker.
Flansburgh is very, he's like nerd P.T. Barnum, kind of.
Yeah.
Where Linnell is like the one who's actually like
talented and good.
Yeah. Where Flansburgh is like, but Flansburgh also is kind of
which is which. Who's what guy? Who does what in the dang band?
Flansburgh has glasses and he's
the
larger
one.
He's the
one who like does props and stuff.
And he plays guitar. I think the best songs. I would say Linnell's the lead vocalist.
100%.
Because he's the voice he's the less grating voice, which if you knew that there was...
Does he sing Birdhouse in Your Soul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He does, yeah.
And he's smaller, he's more the introvert, he's usually on the accordion or at the keys.
He also plays the clarinet and, like, other instruments sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Where Flansburgh just plays the guitar and kind of like
dances
jumps
around and
yeah.
then comes in on harmonies and stuff. And I think there are some songs where he sings lead, but those are not the good ones. If he's singing lead, it's usually very annoying.
Yeah.
The
one Flansburgh song I like is called Youth Culture Killed My Dog, which is just a funny joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of They Might Be Giants similar to the way you associate Iron Maiden as being a boyfriend band. I feel like They Might Be Giants is like a classic boyfriend band.
Oh yeah,
like for sure.
Yes,
the only women at those shows have been dragged there by their boyfriends.
Yeah, I'll give you my experience with the They Might Be Giants. My college boyfriend, who was also very into Fish, loved They Might Be Giants, and our college sketch comedy group did a whole thing. Oh my gosh. Hold on. What's that called? You know, it's the one with all the short. Hold on. I'll remember. It's like Whispers.
Fingertips.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, what is it? Fingertips.
Man, for any other band, for you to be like, what's that one song where it's like whisper, and it's also, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, which of their songs that is whispery?
My college sketch comedy group, which my boyfriend and I founded, The Roost, R.I.P., we did an entire, like, we just did Fingertips, which is like, how it's like it's like 18 songs.
And they're all like
seven to 20 seconds long. And we just had a whole, like, we did the whole thing.
Yeah.
The Please Pass the Milk, Please. I'm having a heart attack. Let me see if I can remember the ones from. I'm having a heart attack. What's that? Staring in the window. Milk. Please, did I say that? Please pass
the
milk.
You did say please pass the milk.
Fingertips. Yeah. There's that one where you whisper fingertips. In true college sketch comedy style, there was a giant dildo that made it into each of the mm-hmm. the like 12 little vignettes in some way, shape, or form. So it was like, and then did you find something under your pillow? Yeah. Is that one of the ones?
There's like, come on and rent my car.
Oh, yeah. That's come on one. And wreck my car.
Wreck my car.
Yeah. Come on
me.
And wreck my car.
These are just lines. I've not heard this song. So
actually, if you want to crank it, it'll take.
Jesus Christ. It's not one song. It's 18 songs.
18 songs at the end of...
Fuck this band. We're done.
It's at the end of... What's it called? Oh, fingertips 1 through 21.
Jesus Christ.
But they're
Christ.
All less than a minute long. All
right. Well, I'm just going to throw on... It says fingertips. I'm just going to... We'll
fingertips
see.
1, everything is catching on fire.
Yeah, that's 1. Everything
is catching on fire. Are these interludes in one album?
So, yeah, the joke was, it was actually, this is another, like, kind of weird thing they did, was it was when CD players first got shuffle. Mm-hmm. And so the idea was that if you're listening to the album on shuffle, you'd never get the same, like, 7-second interlude in between songs.
Wait,
the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we did them all in a row.
The way it was 21. Not meant to be. All right, I get it.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're funny songs.
So that they're was funny, and they're seven like seven funny second songs. Second songs, and we just acted them out in succession. And used a big dildo as well. That's I know fingertips. I know Birdhouse in Your Soul. I know Istanbul, and I think that might. Be it
really.
What else do we got? Was there more that I should know?
We'll get to that in a second when we kind of evaluate if they have icon, you know, in that category. Because we'll go through the categories. It's very important we go through the categories in order, or I'll explode.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's right. Hey, don't jump ahead. You know how the show goes, Joey.
I do.
But I think with They Might Be Giants, you know, they are. Yeah, they're funny, and they are all often childlike. And I think one of their problems is they are too far in that direction often.
Yes.
Well, I also will say that when I looked them up on Spotify, the playlist featuring them, there are two playlists. One is just This Is They Might Be Giants, and the other one is Folk for Kids.
Well, that's because...
Don't they have a children's album?
They have five children's albums that have all gone gold.
I mean, some could say they have 15 children's albums, if you will.
But that, to me, is kind of what makes them sort of interesting as, like, a rock band who is old, again, who's, like, waning... Like, I went and saw they do the music for the new Mickey Mouse Club, even. And, like, my 3-year-old niece, her favorite song is Hot Dog, which I did not know. And we were riding in the car, and I was like, this sounds like They Might Be Giants. And it was. And, like, if you go see them now, it's a funny mix of, it used to be, you know, like, all 28-year-old white dudes with their bored girlfriends, but now it's all those same couples
with their children who are know fucking all, excited.
Yeah, who know all those songs.
Like, yeah,
and that was smart of them to adapt into that, because sometimes they would have songs where it would be like, I mean, ain't listening to this fucking bullshit about the sun.
Here's the other thing too, that was really smart of them, because they knew that their fans were like future dads sure. Like that is future dad rock right there.
But even before they got into that, they have talked about how, without really thinking about it, they've been able to maintain a 14-year-old fan base just kind of consistently.
Which is kind of why I compare them to Weird Al.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're also funny.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's nice is, unlike Weezer, who continues to write songs as if they are in high school, they don't. Like, they're...
Right.
But, okay, another thing that I want to say about They Might Be Giants, and this might be off, but so correct me if I'm wrong, but do you feel like they just have their sound. That nobody else has their sound, and so it doesn't really change. It's like they're just exploring more of their sound. It's like you could put the albums in any order and you'd be like, okay.
I would say there's definitely a distinct change, and it's for the worse when they get a band.
Right.
Like, I really only like them when they're a weird art punk. That's the duo. Other reason, yeah. I liked them, like, I've liked choosing them, was it's a strain of, like, punk that, like, is kind of doesn't exist anymore, which is, like, this New York art funny punk. Like, the B-52s are sort of it, but it's like the Talking Heads. Like, they're, like, the last weird strain of that.
Of being punk, but not being, dangerous.
Lame. Yeah. Also, it's, like, being lame. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like, it's, like...
not... Like being like relatively sober,
yeah,
safe
and
punk.
buttoned up.
But it's like funny art too,
right? Yeah.
Like,
I guess I think they're weird, but it's almost too dorky.
Yeah, they're, you know, someone what I mean? Described them as like Suicide for Kids, the band Suicide for Kids.
Yeah, not the act Suicide.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not the act of committing suicide.
Not something that would drive children to suicide.
But a couple of two other reasons I picked them that are weird factoids, because again, I
love
some natural facts.
Here we go. Hit us with the factoid.
Is,
why?
Is,
that sounds like it could be a They Might Be Giant song.
Exactly.
Hit us with the factoid.
Is that they were the first indie band on MTV.
Yeah, right. Their videos were directed by Adam Bernstein. And he just...
Of the Bernstein Bears?
Oh, my God. Adam Bernstein directed, like, a lot of episodes of 30 Rock and Breaking Bad. And, like, he's, like, an in-demand TV director these days.
And those early videos own, dude. They're so
They're really
great.
Inventive and funny and cool, especially given that, you know, a lot of this stuff that was happening on MTV at the time was fake live concert footage from Motley Crue. You know,
yeah, or, it would be like a Poison video, and then you'd see these two weirdos dancing around. and then the other one is they're the first band to sell music on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And to do it with wild success.
Yeah. In 1999, they released an album on the internet.
They were
first
the highest
MP3 album. Yeah, they were the highest selling band on the internet
for that year. Yeah,
I think I was getting an email address at that point.
You're at Juno.com.
Yeah,
at Prodigy.net.
It was definitely Girlstud 423.
Man, you had as a woman, you had to deal, a young woman, you had to deal with stud in your name.
Yeah,
which is what all the fellas were throwing in our screen names, you know, inorganically.
Yeah, GRL.
I know
girl,
someone
no
who.
I.
Her first AOL screen name, she wrote in Pavement Fan, and it accepted it. And she was like,
"No numbers.
Wait,
needed.
That's not cool. I'll be Pavement Fan 787."
She blew
she
it.
Thought, she thought like having like the numbers in the screen name was cool.
No, that's so funny. She got the thing everyone wants, and then she added the numbers.
Okay, I'm going to tell this briefly. I do not look cool in this, but. So K-Stud is usually my like handle on things across all platforms. But if I can't get that, usually I'll get Hello Kristen or Hello K-Stud. And I was really late. One of my friends convinced me to get Pokemon Go, and it had been out for like weeks at this point. So all of the usernames had been taken by 12-year-olds around the world. And I was trying to get, I couldn't get K-Stud. I couldn't get, you know, Hello Kristen. I didn't get Hello K-Stud. And I was like, oh, is that real? And I tried it one more time and it accepted it. And then I was like, oh, that's so good. Great. And then I looked at it and I had written Helco K-Stud, which I just think is a funny and stupid thing. Like Helco K-Stud.
Helco.
So honestly, guys, follow me on Pokemon Go. I'm Helco K-Stud.
All platforms.
Across one platform.
Well, across one platform, Helco K-Stud.
I was Girlstud 423. That was my college dorm room number, was 423 in Heights Hall.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I didn't get an email. I think I had email in high school as well, but I do not remember what my name was at all on that. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I remember is like girlstud 423. Because, you know, your dorm room never changes.
No, it's, it stays with you for life.
Yeah, I'm still in that dorm room. If you go to mm-hmm. Heights Hall 423 at Bradley University, you'll find me.
She is. And it's a bad scene. Should we go through these categories?
Oh, wait. Also, Joe, you were saying that you have feelings. You have strong feelings
oh, yeah.
about...
Oh, yeah.
TMBG.
I mean, yes, which is that there are some, they might be giant songs that I consider to be among my all-time favorites
mm-hmm.
that I really, really love. And then there are some songs by They Might Be Giants.
And John Flansburgh.
that I consider to be... the most unlistenable garbage I've mm-hmm. ever heard. And I don't think I have any other band where it has high highs and low lows like that. Like really, really off, like makes my fucking skin crawl. It like upsets me so much. And it's just like, so, oh, again, it makes me a bully and I'm not a bully, mm-hmm. but it really makes me want to fucking beat up Flansburgh mostly.
It's also hard. Cause his name is Flansburgh. I mean, ouch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other guy's got like a pretty chill rock name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Linnell.
Or at least an artist's name.
Yeah.
He's the arty one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flansburgh is the dork.
All right. Categories?
Let's do
Shall
it.
Shall we evaluate them?
Category is?
First category is critical acclaim. I don't know that I would call them critical darlings, but especially their first albums were received well. You know, they're coming out of the indie community, kind of from the underground. And, you know, those like Flood and Lincoln and the first
Flood
one.
Flood is the one that I remember mm-hmm. the most.
Those albums were received pretty well critically, you know, with the similar kind of feedback that we have where it's like, sometimes this music is annoying. but I think, I don't think they're critical favorites, but I also don't think they're by any means reviled.
No.
I think they have a decent amount of respect.
Well, and I think they're one of those bands that, like, again, the longer it goes on, the more critics will be like, yeah, we like these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, they've been going on for 30, 40 years or whatever now. Yeah. So,
because They Might Be Giants is the type of band that seems like they could be a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Like, we never heard from them again. They were like quirky and they had an
right.
album.
It was like Birdhouse in Your Soul and out. Like, there's no reason they're not like King Missile or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
They sing Detachable Penis.
Oh, yes. Okay, I do know that song. Right, yeah, they seem poised to be that type of band.
Well, and especially the other reason I kind of chose them is, like, I think they're a really interesting, excellent template for now. I think they were ahead of the curve where it's like, well, they don't play rock music on the radio anymore, so we're going to write the song for... Malcolm in the Middle. We're gonna like mm-hmm. perform the Daily Show theme song. Like, it's just like that, and I think they were kind of doing that stuff before.
Yeah.
Are comfortably niche. Yeah. I feel like that's an interesting, like, they're not trying to, they're trying to write music for themselves and the people who like the kind of music that they make. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not looking for commercial success, I don't think.
No, they're making the music they want to make regardless of where they are and what they're doing, you know. And similar to what you were saying, you know, if they're not gonna be on the radio, they're gonna have a phone number you can call up and hear one of their songs,
which that's so tight.
Wait,
that's
what?
Still cool.
They had a thing
they
for a long time. Is it still connected?
Yeah, well, it's back up now.
It's online now.
Well, it's online, but no, there's you a phone number still... I called it last week to see if it was still up
and that you heard a song.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
New songs, yeah.
So they had a thing for a long time, and it used to be a thing that they used to advertise, I believe, in the Village Voice.
Yeah.
In, like, the, you know, personal ads or whatever, you know, business. And it was just a phone number, and you could call, and their answering machine would have a song on it.
And it would play a new song every week.
Sometimes every day. Like, they were very prolific.
They're so prolific.
And just super short little songs. And it was a very popular thing. And it was, like, hard to get through because people would be calling it all the time to hear what their new dial-a-song is.
That's cute. Wait, and did they ever release these dial-a-songs?
They were short, like...
They would become, like,
they were
the
like fingertips.
It was like, they're longer than fingertips.
Oh.
But they would... It would be, like, their writing
process. The
germ
of a song.
Yeah.
You know,
so then that would become, if people liked that song, they'd be like, oh, let's flesh this out and put it on the album.
Mm-hmm. So it's like I kind of rough ideas, rough drafts of songs.
Here's, I feel like I'm learning about how innovative they were. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yes.
And that's kind of why I chose them, both longevity and weird innovation in weird places.
Yeah, places you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. Also, I, that's like cool. Like that, like phone number thing is, I just think of them as so lame.
Before,
and it's like,
before 1993, between 82 and 93, I would say they were cool. That's why I kept comparing them to, like, the Talking Heads or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because they're, like, nerds who are cool.
Yeah. Almost.
Almost. Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yes,
where
of course.
It's like in
they
a specific, have cred. It's almost like the way David Lynch is cool. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like, we're...
When something's
like,
so singular.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, you have to give it up. All right, next category, classic albums. Probably not, but maybe I would say Flood.
Yeah, I think it's just Flood.
Which is their major label debut, which had Birdhouse in it, and I believe Istanbul. Yeah, Birdhouse, Istanbul, or the Particle Man.
Particle Man, yeah.
And it's a 19-track album. but those are, like, the major standouts, and that went platinum. That was, like, a huge... turning point for them.
Yeah.
They're... Also, knowing that Apollo 18 was meant to be played on shuffle, that's like very funny to me.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't think that people like that they're always trying to think of like what the medium is saying about the music. I don't think that many bands do that. And I think that's cool.
It is.
I also think they and the Pixies were on the same label.
They were Elektra, right?
Yeah, and I think Elektra kind of screwed both of those bands because if you listen, they get dropped from Elektra basically because they're not grunge. And if you look at modern rock radio, like, there's no reason if they're not on a major label that they don't end up the 2 years after grunge when they're playing, like, Beck and like Dust Brothers-y stuff that they wouldn't have had radio hits.
Yeah, Flood was 1990, so that was like kind of the last gasp before Nevermind and like the grunge
takeover, the great grunge takeover.
The great grunge takeover.
That's when if
be
Elektra
some kind
just
of Time Life fucking CD set soon.
Yeah,
I think if Elektra keeps both the Pixies and
TMBG,
and They Might Be Giants, and just tells them to keep doing what they're doing, they're literally 3 years away from, again, just having radio hits from both of those bands.
Yeah, probably. I the story I had seen on that documentary was more or less, I think that you see a depressing amount of times, which was the woman working
A&R
at
person,
yeah,
A&R person
A&R,
that likes them leaves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Went to a different label, and then no one was batting for them anymore at the label. So that was pretty much it. Classic, iconic songs.
I feel like also A&R people should take their people with them. Can they do that?
I guess not. Maybe
they
can't take all of them.
They do that sometimes in TV.
But I bet there's contracts that where it's like you're signed to Elektra, you can't, unfortunately. But yeah, it
call
seems...
her up. We're free, baby. I don't know. This is some retroactive advice for people not listening to the show. Great.
Okay, iconic songs. So, it's weird because I feel like the songs that are most known by this band are not their best. Or...
I think Birdhouse is a pretty amazing song.
Yeah, Birdhouse is probably number one and is also incredible. I really like Birdhouse. And if I can recommend, They Might Be Giants were on The Tonight Show in 1990 when Flood came out.
The Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
The Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Although Jay Leno was guest hosting that night. But they play Birdhouse with the Tonight Show band.
Yeah.
With fucking Doc Severinsen on trumpet doing the trumpet solo. And it's like this really full...
It's crazy.
And the two fucking Johns are there, the fucking young and singing Birdhouse. He's on the accordion and Flansburg is on guitar. And right next to Doc Severinsen, and it's a great performance. I really like it. And then they do an interview with Jay Leno, and it's like so
weird.
It's so
How so?
Well, he doesn't know how. I mean, he never really figured out how to interview people, but he's especially bad. And he's just saying things like, what are you doing? The record? Huh? And then they're just like, yeah, I guess it's, you know, we're trying. Why would you? You do music, you know? You guys like, why did you get your record label? And they're just like, oh, well, you know, we thought, you know?
Okay. What I'm hearing is you don't like Jay Leno.
No, I mean, you watch it. I mean, the reason I can barely pull any details is because, like, it's such a nothing interview.
Yeah.
Then I'll just watch the song.
It's great. But yeah, I think Birdhouse. And then I do think, like, and this is weird, and maybe it speaks more to my generation, but I first heard Istanbul and Particle Man because they were on Tiny Toon Adventures.
But again, that's another testament to, like, them just kind of doing anything to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, that was, like, at the peak, though. I mean, that was probably, that was, Flood had been out maybe a year two, and for some reason, Tiny Toons featured both those songs in like, a kind of a strange episode. They're almost like little music videos.
It's like fake MTV they're doing, and the videos are all They Might Be Giants songs that are, and it's funny,
I loved Tiny Toon Adventures.
They have a DVD with all their early videos on it. Mm-hmm. My friend had it in college. And one of the things was a commentary track of them watching the Tiny Toons things, and they'd never seen it before.
Oh, jeez.
And they're like, oh, this is exactly what we were worried about. They're like, this is really violent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I feel like those two songs, so I think beyond iconic, I think maybe Birdhouse, but then beyond that, I don't think anything is necessarily iconic. But then if you go into recognizable, you got those two. You've got the Malcolm in the Middle theme song, which is You're Not the Boss of
Nobody
Me.
Nobody told you. No? How's it go?
Well, it does go.
You're about to sing the Friends theme.
Uh-huh. Just for funnies.
You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss
like
of me now.
It's like a ska song.
It really is like a ska song. So
life is unfair.
I also would say, like,
Don't
Let Start is my favorite. And
I think Anna Ng is also close.
Yeah, Don't Let Start, Anna Ng from the first two albums are really great songs.
Really great songs.
Yeah.
Do you know those ones, Kristen?
I know Don't Let Start. I can't think of
Anna Ng. So this is off of Lincoln, which was their second album. Make a hole with a gun. And I think I first heard this song because it's on a compilation called Left of the Dial, which is a really good like 80s underground CD collection. My
apartment looks up. Is there a chorus?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good one.
I'm like, because I don't recognize this.
Right. Well, yeah. But yeah, this is kind of, this is all set up, baby. Here we go. And this is another one that I believe has an Adam Bernstein video, which is pretty great. Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
It's great, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a good song. And then beyond that, I think it's there's good songs and also some annoying songs.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, like, a regular non-fan.
Yeah, like
really
they'll
know.
Need a Crane is like a really good song, but I don't think anyone would recognize it.
I think She's
it.
An Angel.
Yeah,
is like
that's
a really,
really,
really
good
song. But yeah, I don't think. I mean, they did the Dr. Evil song.
Yeah.
Like the when you first, I don't know if it's when you first see him, but it's just like that kind of brassy, like, bum, ba-dum.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
they
what?
Did a lot I've of weird stuff.
We
like
might
that.
As well listen to the fucking Dr. Evil song. I've got it. You know, it's like very James Bondy.
Yeah.
Obviously. But yeah, and they also did the, Joey mentioned, they didn't write it, but they did.
Weirdly, Bob Mould wrote it, but they play it. That is like the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
The theme
Daily
song
to
the Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Na, 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 na.
That's them playing those instruments.
Why won't you watch it? It's the Daily Show. I remember there was like a thing when it first came out where
Bob Mould from Husker Du
wrote that song, but
when during the Kilbourne years,
yeah,
wrote the Daily Show theme song, and then when Jon Stewart got on, he's a big They Might Be Giants fan, and then had them re-record it, and that's kind of like the classic version of it. And then I think when Trevor Noah came on, he was.
Yeah, it's like dubstep now or whatever.
Kid Cudi or somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, it, there's a new... God, I stopped when Trevor Noah took over.
Of course.
Yeah,
you're not crazy. but yeah, so they did Malcolm and they did Daily Show and...
They do this song from Coraline.
Oh, yeah?
The Other Father song. That's Linnell singing.
So it's like, sweet Coraline. Yeah. Yeah. Ba, ba, ba. I know that one. I
it
like
might
that one.
Be giant. Be... My name's John.
Linnell.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where you run out of songs that are recognizable with They Might Be Giants.
Okay. So that's.
Well, and then Hot Dog.
And then,
forget.
Of course,
and
oh,
the,
yeah,
big,
your niece
the Mickey Mouse,
is, your niece
yeah,
loves
the
Hot
Mickey
Dog.
Mouse song, theme club song. Now, I'm telling you, there's 4-year-olds everywhere
who
or they might be
shit.
Giants fans now.
Commercial success. I mean, Flood went platinum,
and every single one of their kids' albums have gone gold.
Yeah, kids are stupid.
Kids are
no,
dumb
it's
as hell.
Parents buying the like it's
They're
tolerable
like so
music
that
for
it's
the parents.
Not horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the Wiggles, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
right,
a real
yes.
band making music
a
for
good,
children.
A good compromise for parents. Yeah, but it's, so it's not like they had incredible commercial
no.
success. It's but you know it was better than a lot of bands that come out of the underground.
They've
do.
Sold 5 million records overall, I think. I read that on Wikipedia yesterday.
And you know, I'm prepared to believe you.
Yeah.
Now longevity. Now, you've been talking about, you know, they've been around since the early 80s, and they're still going. However, I feel like when you evaluate longevity with these bands, you kind of have to figure out what was the definitive era.
Right.
And I really think they, you
it's
know...
It's like 85 to 90.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Because the kind of grunge thing and getting dropped by their label kind of killed them, and then they're, while they're... you know, hardcore fans continue to appreciate their output. I think it's kind of, yeah, it's 86 to 90, give or
yeah.
take. You know, I think that's kind of the... So it's, in terms of their definitive career, we're not looking at more than half
yeah.
a decade, really. Influence, innovation. No, I think they do well in this category. Like we said, obviously, innovation, I mean, they had a fucking answering machine service, and they went,
uh-huh.
they were one of the
and
first groups to be online.
On the
first band with podcasts, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like they were doing, they have done, especially with innovation, they're weird dudes who are thinking of new ideas all the time. And then I do think
they played a concert in a video game. I read that.
What, in like yeah. Second Life or something?
Yeah, it was like, it was called Adventure Quest.
Oh my God. Yeah, so these dudes.
Did their avatars like
yeah,
play
it was John and John were the avatars. I read this on Wikipedia
That's
last night.
So
oh my
funny.
God, what was this? Ready Player One?
Yeah, right.
They played in the Oasis?
But these dudes are pushing envelopes that don't need to be pushed.
And they're pushing 50.
but they, yeah. So you do have to give it up. And I think also maybe a little bit in terms of influence, I think there are probably bands that have come after them, especially because they were so unapologetically silly
yeah.
and kind of quirky. And I think that coming from the underground, there's some influence there. I don't
yeah.
know that I can pinpoint any
well,
bands.
Well, there's like
but...
those weird, like Adam and His Package or whatever, those kind of bands. But like,
yeah,
not
don't
a
know.
Great case.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying then it's like.
You don't have to be influential and you don't have to influence good bands.
Yeah, exactly. but I bet like somebody like Ben Folds 5 would be like, I love
yeah.
They Might Be Giants.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because
yeah,
that's like also corny. Like,
yeah.
Well, you
yeah.
know,
white
who,
nerd music.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
who used to call in to Dial a Song a lot was Mark Hoppus from Blink-182.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he's in that documentary and he talks a lot about like, I would call in. And I just loved it. And
instead, I would go on to write just much simpler songs.
Yeah. Well, maybe They Might Be Giants made the world safe for Blink-182.
Yeah. Which is also maybe not a good thing. But...
Right. Does my mom know they might be giants? I'm
does
pretty
she?
Sure she does not. But if she heard the Malcolm
exactly.
song, she'd go, oh, I mean, obviously she's seen The Daily Show. But if she heard the Malcolm in the middle of the theme song, she'd be like, okay, yeah. But I don't think
she'd be like, life is unfair.
Yeah. She'd be like, do you know this song? She'd be like, yes, no, maybe, I don't know. Can you repeat the question?
Wow. You really put your mom on the spot.
And then
in that one.
I'd be like, you're not the boss of me now.
My mom, I think, does know who they are because, again, she listens to XRT in Chicago, which is like alternative music. And
won't just play major label releases.
Oh, yeah. No. They play a lot of like really... kind of, yeah, it's like adult alternative music, and it's been an alt station since
tight,
it's a great
it's an
station.
Awesome station. It's been an alt station since the 80s, so I'm sure my mom has heard she's probably heard of them. I don't know if she could do like a little, you know, match them up with their songs and who they are or
give
whatever.
Her a marker and a cork board and
yeah, but I think she's heard of them.
My parents have no idea. Yeah. But they definitely know the Malcolm in the Middle song,
right? Okay, so
I bet they maybe weirdly know Istanbul too, because it's like a weird joke.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
it's just a memorable joke song.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
where it'd be like, yeah, I've heard this dumb song.
Dumbass shit. Well, I mean that was that's a cover.
I know,
right? That's an old dumb song.
It is. That's a cover. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of like a goofy, you know, novelty song from like maybe the 50s or something.
Gotcha.
All right, let's do our verdict. Should they get in? Will they get in? When?
Should they? Will they? When?
Kristen, all right. We'll start with you.
Oh boy. Listen up. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go, will they? I'm going to go say no. I do not think that we're on a trajectory in this timeline. Okay. There are other timelines where, like, Trump is not president. I mean, there are just other timelines to fantasize about. But I think in our current timeline, TMBG, not in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Should they? You know, I mean, I wouldn't be angry if they did. I would not be, if I'm on the NomCom, I'm not going to bat for them either.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. Ooh. I mean, because I did grow to, I learned and I grew in my respect and esteem for them, but it didn't put me over the bar into the should category as well. So that puts when as a null and void question. Joey.
I also think they definitely will not get in. I mean, if they do, it'll be 30 years from now and they'll both be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they'll get in. I do think I brought them because they're an interesting case.
Yeah.
And I do think the Rock Hall should make more room for niche stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they should probably get in.
Well, and, like, I think Devo should get in. Devo
should
definitely
be in.
I think the B-52s should really get in.
Yeah.
And I really think that the B-52s are super important for, like, queer music getting in. And I think that's, like, something that super needs.
Well, and Weird Al should definitely
tributary
also be
get
in.
In. I think that I'm, like, I'd be cool with him getting
from
in.
From a sports standpoint, it's, like, it's like putting the greatest punter of all time in. Like, you have to put him in, even though it's like, we're putting a punter in the in the Football Hall of Fame. But it's like, Weird Al
is
just
he is
so
the best
excellent
and only
at
what he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also,
and
so
then it
hits.
Opens a tributary for Lonely Island to get in. And
yikes. And then we're...
The Jerky Boys. You put the Jerky Boys
okay.
in.
Okay. This is great. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for.
But yeah, I think they probably should get in. I don't know. They have a good case, but they won't.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way.
I just don't. I don't think there's enough there.
Yeah.
I don't think they should. You know, you can release good music and do interesting things, but, you know, that doesn't mean you get in. So I don't think they should. And I don't think they will. You know, and like I said, I love some of their music. I really, really love. But I just don't. Yeah. It's not for them. If they do get in, I'm gonna say 45 years.
Yeah, exactly.
50 like, years.
Well, when music has stopped and they're just going back and being like, what was interesting about the past?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be they're just putting in stuff like this to avoid putting in SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah.
They'll get in with the Prodigy. I think that was roughly what I get, yeah. what I predicted for the Prodigy. The Prodigy and Toto and and They Might Be Giants can all get in the same. That's not a bad year. All right. Well, let's say they do get inducted. Who inducts them? I think it's pretty obvious. Frankie Muniz. Gonna have to induct.
Or Jon Stewart, honestly.
That's like a legit one. If they were getting inducted, I think Jon Stewart would be a great choice. I think also, you know, there's a bunch of names and faces in my head because I watched the documentary. Yeah.
They have a lot of weirdly famous fans.
Frank Black from the Pixies is a huge fan.
Yeah.
And they were label mates and they've toured together. Sarah Vowell is a huge fan.
Aww.
Which
makes the most sense of anything in the world.
Author.
Dave Eggers.
Big fan. Dave Eggers, Ira Glass.
Doy.
It's a lot of fucking public radio favorites.
Yes.
As you can imagine.
NPR's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would be very different. And you know what? I would prefer it. Yeah. I'm not kidding. It is who I am.
Yeah. Mark Hoppus. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Hoppus.
Yeah.
Those are
I mean, Blink 182
fucking Blink 182 is
going to
get
in
and it's. I was really into pop punk music before like Blink 182 got really big, and then I just left and I actually went further left of the dial and got more into like indie rock music when emo and pop punk music was like really mainstream. I was just not even there for it at all. So I know that Blink 182
is really.
Oh, so
you missed Dashboard Confessional?
Oh no, I saw Dashboard Confessional, but they were like emo in a much sadder way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, I definitely Newfound Glory. Like I was there, but I don't know. Blink 182, they're the breakthrough band.
It's true.
People like 2 years younger than me think they're like
they're
great,
like the most like, important band to people who are 2 years younger than me. Like the most important band, people. Love them, and I'm just like, God, of all of the bands of that era, they're going to be the ones like they define what that is.
Yeah,
strange.
Yeah, it's very weird,
and you wouldn't. It's hard to predict.
Same thing with Sublime, where again, like I was 2 years too old for Sublime, where I'm like, this sucks.
Sublime got me when I was in college. I had 40 Ounce to Freedom in my CD player.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you know I did. You know I did. And I got into the Bad Fish single and stuff like that. Don't worry about me.
Oh, you're a Bad Fish too?
Yeah. Tell me. I really, that hit me. Oh God, we're talking about They Might Be Giants though.
We sure are. Yeah. Who gets it? I mean, the two Johns get in.
Just the two Johns.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, even the band that they have now is mostly a touring band.
Yeah.
And then what three songs do they play? What's their three song set? I'm thinking
Birdhouse.
I want to say, if it were up to me, I'd say Birdhouse, Anna Ang, and Don't Let's Start.
Yeah.
But they probably wouldn't do that because that's all so, so early of their stuff. Mm-hmm. I think you throw in Birdhouse.
I think Don't Let's Start.
Especially because that's from the first album.
Yeah, Don't
Let's
Start was their first big college radio MTV hit. I think they do that.
And then do they, I mean, like, they.
And then they do something off their new album.
Yeah, and then they do Fingertips.
They just do one of them, though, a 7-second one. Please pass the milk, please. And then that's it.
God, I want to say maybe Istanbul or Particle Man are in there just because of, you know, the recognizability.
Those songs are bad, though.
They are bad. I mean, maybe they fucking throw in Dr. Worm.
I don't know. Do like Dr.
Dr.
Worm.
Dr.
Worm
is a good
song.
Yeah.
Play me Dr. Worm.
Hear,
I mean, I'm really like these horns so far. As someone who also got into ska in high school. Call me Dr. Worm. Good morning. God, this song is so lame.
I know, right?
It's lame, but it's good.
This is the lamest.
It really,
like, what even is this?
It walks the line for me because that kind of shit is what makes me so mad about them. But I think this melody is really good.
Well, and also I think it's this song is kind of lame as a joke because, like, it's about a guy practicing the drums by himself about how good a drummer he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And, like, I think that's, like, sort of the joke.
Yeah, I don't know. Really fucking play that. Play fucking James K. Polk. They've got Meet James Enzor. I mean, they have so many fucking
You're
weird
not the boss of me, dude.
You know what? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they play You're
See,
Not the Boss of Me.
This is why it's very certain that they will not get in. That we can't think of a third song.
Right.
That they
I mean,
play.
Well, it's almost like, because I think the three songs I said initially would be a good set, but it's almost like trying to predict what they would do and, like, what better represents their career. I think You're Not the Boss of Me is actually a good third slot after Birdhouse and Don't Let's Start.
It's a famous song.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're an interesting band. I'm glad you brought them in, Joey.
Me too.
I mean, they're a band I like. They're not my favorite band. I just want to make that very clear.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I heard you were like, I'm really excited to bring my favorite band. Mm-hmm.
You came in wearing a They Might Be Giants t-shirt, and you have a pennant that says Giants on it. And
a Devo hat, weirdly.
Yeah, very strange. The red potted plant Devo hat. No pants. It was very alarming, but, you know, we accept all Hall followers here.
But yeah, I just want more weird fun in the Rock Hall and less
But someone would say that Bon Jovi is a fun band.
Mm-hmm. And the Cars are fun.
The Cars are fun.
I think Devo and B-52s are around the corner.
Come on, baby. Oh my gosh. Ooh. I'm just like, when are they going to put in some bands I like?
Yeah, I do feel like we're running out of the, I mean, we could be surprised. I feel like we're running out of the lame older bands, and they're going to have to acknowledge some of these cooler, more interesting bands soon, because there's not going to be that many 60s, 70s bands
Jethro
left.
Jethro Tull, Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Do you think the Scorpions are going to get in?
No, I don't. I do not think. Scorpions just don't have enough hits. I mean,
Guns N' Roses are...
They take care of whatever itch you need to scratch for the Scorpions.
I just mean that's next, right? Like, Guns N' Roses have to be pretty soon.
Oh, Guns N' Roses got in.
Oh, they got in? For some reason, I thought they weren't in.
They were first-year eligible, baby.
Did they perform?
They did not. Axl did not show up.
Did the Offspring come on and just perform for them?
I want to say, you know what? Maybe they did perform, but with, like, a very weird and kind of unknown singer.
It was, like, Chester Bennington.
It was, like, someone I had never heard of. And they did perform, but none of that made it to the broadcast because of Axl or something. I think he was very pissed off that they, like, kind of reformed and played with some dude. That was a great noise.
I mean... Oh, okay.
Inducted by, I'm going to look up, they're inducted by Green Day. I want to see.
Green Day's in, yeah?
Yeah, they were also FYE. Yeah.
Green Day, first year eligible, baby.
They're fucking awesome. Green Day rules. I was into Green Day, but I do not care about Blink-182 at all.
The singer's name was Miles Kennedy. I don't know who that was, but Billy Joe did play with them on Mr. Brownstone. But again, you can't find this footage anywhere.
They played Mr. Brownstone? That's real funny.
Right?
That's like a funny one to choose.
And then you can probably guess the other.
November Rain. Did they play November Rain?
No. Just played Sweet Child of Mine, obviously, and they played Paradise City.
Play Welcome to the Jungle?
That seems like that would be the third, but no, they went Brownstone.
Weird.
Very weird.
Well, they Might Be Giants are weird. We're all weird. Joey, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This has been a lot of fun. You have anything you want to plug? Social media, your own podcast?
What's up, boy? I do.
Yeah, boy.
I do an NBA podcast called Ryan Ball Rock, named after the John Tesh song. That is the NBA on NBC theme.
Oh, that's funny.
We did have one rock and roll episode where we had music video director Daniel Ralston come on. And we talked about what bands would win in, like, a King of the Court style basketball game. It came down to the Red Hot Chili Peppers versus the Beach Boys, and the Peppers won.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Pulled out Peps.
People were very surprised that the Beach Boys would beat NWA in a basketball game, but Mike Love's brother is an NBA Hall of Famer.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Bob Love. That's really funny.
Kevin Love is Mike Love's nephew.
No shit.
Yeah,
I didn't know the Love family.
They're real good at basketball. Also, they're real good at being the worst people on earth. Well, Mike Love. I don't know about Kevin or Bob Love. But anyway.
Where can we find you on social media?
I'm at Joey Devine. That's D-E-V-I-N-E.
Beautiful.
On Twitter and Joey.Devine on Instagram.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, wow. Couldn't go across platforms.
Snatched it.
No. I had a different name, and then I was like, I should probably...
What was your OG?
It was Flunkster Dude.
Okay.
Which
you've made a good choice.
No, there's a basketball reason for that. When the Golden State Warriors were really, really bad, there was this commenter on the Warriors World message board named Flunkster Dude, who would always like defend the management and stuff, and he'd be like, "I'm a season ticket holder. I love the Golden State Warriors." And then it turned out it was they followed the IP address, and
it was the coach.
It was the PR guy for the Golden State Warriors, and his name was Flunkster Dude. So I always use it.
That's so sad. Great, cool, Kristen.
You can find me across all social media platforms. As K-Stud, except for Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go.
Check her out, Helco
K-Stud. I'm Helco K-Stud. So find me there. I'm going to do some shows.
She's got some.
So just go to my website. You'll find it. You can figure it out.
You can find me on Twitter at JoeKJoeK, Instagram, JoeKwa. I'm coming to Cleveland. I will be doing the Accidental Comedy Fest in Cleveland at the end of August, early September.
Are you going to the museum that you hate because it's not connected to the
concert?
He's got to
go get his boat in.
I am very excited. I have not been to the museum in 13 years or something. It's been a long time, and I'm excited to see what they got
going on.
He's going to
make it there before I am. I'm going at the end of September.
We're both taking our journey to Mecca.
How popular does this podcast have to get before you guys just straight up get a vote?
Man,
I mean, much more popular than it currently is.
I would assume, but you know, we're making friends in the right places.
I mean, you're the only Rock Hall pod.
Yeah, it's true. We are the only Rock Hall.
We're the only game in town, baby. Yeah.
Speaking of Rock Hall pod, you can email us rockhallpod@gmail.com. We love your messages. We love to hear from y'all.
Yeah, if you don't have Joe's phone number to just text him like Joey does, then you can email us your thoughts on the show.
We love it. You know, rate and review us on iTunes. We have we've only had 3 reviews, and it's kind of stayed that way since the beginning.
I am one of the reviews.
All right. We would really love some more reviews. That would be really nice, and that really helps us out. 5 stars only on the rating. Please subscribe. Thank you to Ted Tremper and Liz Fole and Natalie Garcia Mayor for the space, the equipment,
and Bet's the dog.
And there's a new dog, and he's
there's a new dog in town.
A new goddamn dog in town, and it is around, and we pet it. Thank you so much. I'm Joe Guzzala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?